From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, the world's fourth most populous country gets a new leader.
But first, the quarantine has been lifted on over 40 people who had contact with Thomas Eric Duncan, who died of Ebola in Dallas. About 120 people are still being monitored. No one outside of two nurses who cared for Duncan has shown any symptoms of the virus, including his family. But calls for an Ebola-related travel ban continue. Let's bring in Mary Schiavo. She's an aviation attorney, former inspector general of the Department of Transportation. She has said in the past that temperature screening for travelers does not work. Mr. Duncan had no temperature when he first traveled. The nurse, Amber Vinson, had a temperature, but it was below the CDC's cutoff for flying. So Mary wants a full ban. But Mary, we're hearing medical experts explain today that this virus, the Ebola virus, is much more virulent. The longer it's in the bloodstream, maybe the reason the nurses who worked with Duncan at the end were infected, but his family wasn't. So it would seem travelers would have the least chance of infecting anyone because no one would be allowed to travel that violently ill. Does the fact that people are being released from quarantine, no one else infected, does that change your mind about a travel ban?
No, because we're really talking about two different things. I mean, I've never said or thought that anyone who's on a plane with someone who has the Ebola virus, that the whole plane is going to come down with Ebola. The problem is what it does to the entire aviation system. For the approximately 150 persons who travel or who wish to travel from the three Ebola-stricken countries every day, that puts a tremendous strain on the nearly a billion people a year who travel, and here's why. The problem is, as we've seen from poor Mr. Duncan, God rest his soul, is one person had put how many people on 21-day quarantines, has disrupted several flights, and has disrupted aviation and literally the economy of the United States from this travel. You know, most Americans can't go into quarantine for 21 days. Most Americans have kids and jobs. And I don't think people understand how much America relies on aviation. Aviation is fast and it's borderless. After September 11, 2001, without aviation, literally business shut down.
Yeah. So you're not concerned about people getting catching Ebola on the flight itself. It's the havoc that's wreaked when, as happened with Mr. Duncan, it's not caught on the other end. I mean, he went to the hospital and was turned away the first time, and it rippled from there. What about, though, the concern we've heard expressed by medical professionals and President Obama seems to have taken up, that if you ban the travel from those countries, people will find a way to get somewhere where travel isn't banned and still travel?
I find that the height of hypocrisy. And this is both sides of the aisle. This is Republican and Democrat. But I cannot believe they would threaten the American people once again with our porous borders. This is such a shocking attack on the American public. Everyone knows that the American public overwhelmingly supports secure borders. And then for the government, and particularly the head of the CDC, to say, oh, well, if we don't let people in, anyone who wants to come, if we don't let them in on the airlines, then they'll just go down to our porous borders and walk across and we'll lose track of them. I just think that that is really the government abdicating its responsibilities once again. You know, people said, well, are Americans going to get their pitchforks and their torches lit over Ebola? Well, maybe they should get their pitchforks out and their torches lit over stupid statements like that.
Well, isn't there some truth to the fact that if somebody knows that they can't fly, let's say, from West Africa to Brussels to the U.S., because that's how there's no direct flights, they would travel within Africa to another country and fly regardless. Isn't that just impossible to stop?
No. We check the passports of people entering our country to see if they have traveled to banned countries. If we're not checking passports, we got more to worry about than just Ebola.
Well, and what about the effect on West Africa, the aid workers who may not go if they feel they can't travel out?
Well, see, that's also a misnomer. You know, every year, where technically travel is banned to Cuba, for example, and every year 100,000 Americans go to Cuba. We have special travel arrangements for people performing humanitarian service, medical service, et cetera, and the United States government is perfectly capable of issuing travel waivers in the light of restrictions for people who are traveling for humanitarian reasons. We've been doing that for decades.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think should happen for guidelines for flight? We know that guidelines are coming out for what healthcare workers in hospitals should wear, but what more should, what do you think is missing for the airlines?
That's just a wonderful question and a very important question, because what people don't understand is there are no federal cleanliness regulations or cleaning regulations for aircraft. There are no federal regulations that say you clean the tray tables with disinfectant, you steam clean the seats or the carpet. Zip, none. So when the Frontier Airline flight got hit with this problem, they literally had to freelance. They had to invent. And I give them a lot of credit. They called the government repeatedly. The government said, well, I don't know, that might work. And when you look at the guidelines, the FAA, and they're only guidelines, they're not regulations, the FAA punted to the CDC. The CDC guidelines are on the web. You can go on their website and look at them, and they conflict themselves. One says, if you have a liquid, you know, bodily fluids, sop up as much as you can, put it in a plastic bag, and tell the plane cleaners that, you know, they need to be careful.
Mary Schiavo, aviation attorney, former Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Transportation. Mary, thanks as always.
Thank you.